Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Rolf.
Your blessing may be because of someone who came before you. You may be reaping the benefits of a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent who was on their knees before God, putting him first and praying for you and laying this pathway, this legacy. Now, if you didn't tap that, you go, nope, I've checked my roots. They're all heathen, atheists, horrible people, and criminals. Okay, then now it's your turn to start a legacy for those who come after you.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
You can learn a lot by studying the successes and failures of those who have gone on before us. And that's especially true when it comes to those we find in the Bible. Today on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolf has us consider the success and failure of Solomon. It's part of our Through the Bible and Stories series. We come to 1 Kings 3 through 11 today, and we'll start off by observing some of the keys to Solomon's success.
This year we're going through the Old Testament Bible stories, and this morning we're going to talk about a man who in some ways was the greatest man to ever walk the face of the earth, the man Solomon. He's the son of David, the youngest son of David. He became king after David. He is certainly, on the one hand, an amazing success story, and that makes his life interesting because he excelled everyone who came before him or after him in terms of what he possessed, what he accomplished, what he knew, what he created. And so when you have a success story like that, it's worth checking it out and seeing especially, wow, what made him so successful? But at the same time, he was also one of the best crash and burn stories in all of history too. Someone who took great success and in the end turned it into failure. Someone has said that success without succession is actually failure. That what we leave after we're gone is what matters more than what we accomplish while we are here. In that respect, when we look at Solomon, he's a great testimony to David's success. When we see what happens to the nation after Solomon, it's a tragic story. So, first of all, let me accentuate the point of his success by, let's just go through some chapters and look at the magnitude of his success. In chapter 3, when he was just getting started, he made this judicial decision that people still look at it and go, wow, that was brilliant. It's still a story that's repeated often. You find it there in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. But what happened is, and sometimes the king would, sitting there on his throne, they would bring a difficult case before him, almost like you would with the Supreme Court, and go, what do we do? We don't have a law that explains what you do here. In this case, two women who were prostitutes, and they lived together, they each had brand new babies. And one of the ladies rolled over in her sleep and suffocated her child. But when she realized her baby was dead, she took the baby and put it over by the other lady and took the living baby and put it next to her. So they're fighting over whose the living baby is. And they bring these two ladies before Solomon. Now, this was before DNA tests, before Maury Povich. So it's like, okay, what do we do? Solomon says, yeah, the only thing I can think of is bring me a sword and the baby. And we'll just cut the living baby in half and each woman can have a half and then it's even. It's fair. And the mother who was actually the mother of the child said, you know, the other lady, the one who has child that died already, just said, yeah, great, sounds good. Go ahead and cut the baby in half. The other mother said, no, give the baby to her rather than kill the baby. And so he knew immediately, that's the woman that cares about the baby, that's the mother, and so he said, give the baby to her. I mean, it was very simple kind of logic, but a brilliant decision for a young king to make who didn't have a ton of life experience before that. And it caused people to look at him and go, wow, he's amazing. At the end of the chapter, it says, all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. It just gets greater. Over in chapter 4, we have a long survey of all the stuff that he had in his house. He was definitely big government gone to seed, for sure. Look at verse 20 of chapter 4. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. So Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river, that is Euphrates, up in the northeast, to the land of the Philistines, the Mediterranean down next to Egypt, as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. So all these people were paying taxes to him, the entire land of Israel, way bigger than Israel is today. But look at verse 22. Now Solomon's provisions for one day, 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal. Now, one core is about 5 bushel baskets full. So this is a lot of grain. But he goes on and says, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, 100 sheep, besides the deer, gazelle, roebucks, and fatted fowl. I mean, and then it talks about the region that he ruled over. And in verse 30, his wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. And verse 32, he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. You ever try to write a proverb? I mean, it's hard. I actually wrote one earlier this last week. I mean, it just came to me, and it was like, this thing is brilliant. And I was going to tweet it and go, oh, I finally wrote a proverb. But I didn't write it down, and I forgot it now. So to come up with this many, pretty impressive for sure. You know, and imagine writing 1,005 songs. Now, years ago, there was a guy, Steve Allen, who was the host of The Tonight Show before Jay Leno and before Johnny Carson. And he used to, I saw him one time on a TV show bragging about the fact that he had written over 1,000 songs. And I thought, wow, that I didn't even know he was a musician. So they had him play a couple of his songs. And then I realized, yeah, just because you wrote a lot of songs, they were terrible. It was just awful. So, I mean, I think I could do that. But obviously with Solomon's, they kept them. So they must have been good. I mean, just one of them is it was an extensive song that we call the Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs. This long love story about one of his 1,000 women that he was so enraptured by. So he was amazing. He was accomplished. You read on here in chapters 5 and 6 how he built the temple. And in chapter 7, he built a bunch of other buildings as well. And you read on through his life, and it's stunning what he could do. There in chapter 8, it says in verse 10, it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. So the priest couldn't even keep doing their priestly stuff because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And Solomon said, yeah, God said that he would do this. What a stamp of approval on a guy's ministry. You build the temple and you put the ark in it and the glory of God shows up. It's like, how, if you built that and you put the box in and nothing happens, you're like, oh boy, that's a fail for sure. But God was approving him and blessing him. Later on, when he prayed his prayer of dedication, you just see this heart that he has, and he's acknowledging, hey, this is just a building. Heaven isn't big enough to contain God. So you just see things are going really well for him. In chapter 9, God showed up for a second time to talk to him and again to remind him of what to do. Hey, keep doing what your dad did. And if you don't, it's going to cost you. But if you just live life right, I'm going to keep your throne going on forever. And, you know, over in chapter 9 and verse 26, he built a fleet of ships, something that wasn't too common in those days. In chapter 10, we have this encounter with the Queen of Sheba, a woman who was very wealthy and a royal leader down in North Africa, down in Ethiopia. She came just to see if he was as impressive as the stories she had heard. And so it says that she came and brought a bunch of questions, and he answered all her questions. And after talking to him and seeing who he is and you know what he could do, there in chapter 10, beginning with verse 6, it says, she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men and happy are your servants. You're blessed by God," she says in verse 9. And so Solomon ended up giving her a bunch of gifts too. And according to Ethiopian tradition, he also gave her what she really wanted, which was a kid that was half his. And that's how, you know, Judaism spread down to Ethiopia and thus then Christianity as well. Look at verse 14 there in chapter 10. "The weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly," this is his revenue just in gold, 666 talents of gold. Now, that sounds like a lot of gold, but one talent of gold by their measurement would be between 60 and 70 pounds of gold. So he is having dump truck loads of gold brought to him. And over in verse 23, it says, "So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. He was smarter, richer, more successful in every way than anyone in the world who was a leader." And so we look at that, and it makes me want to go, what were the keys to his success? How in the world did you accomplish that much? And so let's go back to chapter 3, and we can see in the beginning that it was God who blessed him this way, and it makes it very clear as to why God blessed him with these riches. In 1 Kings chapter 3, it says, beginning with verse 3, you know, Solomon's a young king. He became king because his mom went to David when David was really old and goes, "Let Solomon become king." He had older brothers that would have been king otherwise, but she said, "You promised," and David went along with it. And so Solomon had become king, but he was very young. His mom was actually helping him rule. She had a little big throne right next to his. But look at verse 3 of chapter 3, 1 Kings. "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places," the pagan sacrificial locations. "The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you've given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child and I don't know how to go out or come in. And your servant's in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?" And look at verse 10. "The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And so God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing and you haven't asked for a long life for yourself or riches for yourself, or you haven't asked the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you did not ask, riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days as well. And then Solomon woke up. So we see several factors in here that describe who Solomon was and what it was that caused God to say, I'm going to bless you. The first thing that we see here, and it started right off at the beginning, where it says, and Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon had a heart for God. Now, you might go, wait, he loved the Lord? What's he doing sacrificing in pagan locations? Well, to love the Lord doesn't mean you're perfect. To love the Lord doesn't mean you don't mess up really big time at times, that you know everything. That's not it. It's about the heart. It's about that deep down inside, the most important thing to me is God and being right with him and having favor with him. Not that you don't vary, but for Solomon, like David, who was called a man after God's own heart, God looked at him and said, you care about me. You love me. Your heart is set after me. I am the most important thing in your life. And that greatly touched the Lord, without a doubt. But also what you see through that passage that I read is that David understood his heritage. He understood the legacy that his father had left him, and he himself desired to not only benefit from his father's legacy, but to propagate that legacy. It meant something to him. I think often we think, you know, we look at our lives and we go, yeah, I'm doing really good. I'm really blessed by God. And you may be. But be careful that you don't assume that because God is blessing you, that's God's stamp of approval on the choices that you are making in your life and the person that you are. Because quite often, as was obviously the case here, your blessing may be because of someone who came before you. You may be reaping the benefits of a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent who was on their knees before God, putting him first and praying for you and laying this pathway, this legacy. Now, if you didn't have that, you go, nope, I've checked my roots. They're all heathen, atheist, horrible people and criminals. Okay, then now it's your turn to start a legacy for those who come after you. But God liked the fact that Solomon was saying to him, hey, my dad, he's my dad, and you have been good to me because he loved you and you love him. And so that seemed to touch God at a time when now David's life was over. Solomon is reminding him, that was my dad. And God responded because of that. And later we see, even after Solomon totally messed up, God said, I'm not going to take you out because still your dad was a good guy. Now we look at his dad and go, oh, he messed up really. This isn't about not messing up. This is about where your heart is. What do you really care about the most? Now another thing that God seemed to respond positively to was that Solomon was asking in prayer for the right things. He asked for understanding that he would be able to lead God's people in a good way. He was asking for wisdom. And God said, because you ask for the right thing, I'm going to give you a bunch of other things that you didn't bother asking for. And I think sometimes we can look at our own prayers and make a list. Okay, what am I praying for? And I would guess that for most of us, the thing we pray the most is for God to bless our food, whatever that means. You know, and then it's like, I have a cold. God, please heal me of my cold. I can't afford to miss work. Or it's like, oh God, I have a cold. Help my kids not to get the cold. Or help me to find a parking place at Walmart. Or help the Dodgers to turn this thing around, and the Angels. Help the Kings to somehow, you know, win the Stanley Cup in a sport that none of us would ever bother watching. But we will still ask God to, you know, still be good. If somebody's going to win the thing, might as well be somebody, you know, a bunch of Canadians that live in L.A. And so, you know, that prayers are going up for all of these things. And, you know, there isn't anything wrong with praying for all those things. That's fine. But if that's the most serious thing that we pray for, we're focusing on the wrong things. Now, for Solomon to say, God, give me a long life, give me riches, give me success, it wouldn't have been wrong to do it. But God loved the fact that Solomon just said, you know what, there's just one thing. I just want to have your mind. I just want to know what you want. I want your wisdom in order to be faithful to minister to your people. And I think for many of us, we could take a good hard look at how we pray and just go, are we just praying for all the stuff that's, you know, not as big of a deal? And I wonder if, because James says, you have not because you ask not when it comes to wisdom. If anyone asks wisdom, God will give it generously to you. I really wonder how much other stuff God would give us if we were asking for the most important things first. It might be that if you're asking for God's wisdom all the time, you find a parking place and you get over your cold, you're healed, your kids are doing well in school, your team is winning, without you even asking, maybe God just goes, you asked for the right thing, so I'm going to give you everything. If I'm going to ask God, I want to ask him for the most important things, because Solomon did that, and God seemed like he was, wow, you did well. So I'm going to give you a bunch of other stuff you didn't ask for that I know you want that you could have had. So asking for the right thing was something that he did, something that certainly we can take away from that too.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com, or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We're noticing some of the keys to success in Solomon's life. Pastor Dave says humility was a big part of that.
I think, too, his humility just jumps out at me. Now, normally you don't think of Solomon as a humble person. And if you were watching his life up to this point, he's like, I want to be king. And David's telling him, okay, then great. After I die, there's a bunch of people that I promised I wouldn't kill. So after I die, you kill them. I mean, you love this father-son interaction right before they die. It's really a trip. But for most of his life, he's a leader. Now, in general, if you're a leader and you get up in front of people and go, I don't know what I'm doing. They're not going to follow you anymore. It's as simple as that. If he had done that, if he had acted humble in front of people, it would have been the end of his reign. But where it matters most, where humility is actually shown, is when you are on your knees before God and you are being honest with him.
More on the success and failure of Solomon coming your way tomorrow on The Balanced Word with Dave Raw, a presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and